58.
Okay, let's call this special select board meeting of December 2nd, 2017 to order. The first item is to approve the agenda. Any comments? Very none?
Need a motion, right?
All in favor?
Need a motion, right?
Yes.
Second.
So that was a motion by, that was a motion by...
To approve.
Motion to approve by Jamie, seconded by Jerry.
Correct.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. Colleen Parker, I'd like to announce, sent an email this morning saying that due to today's meeting that she has recused herself. Our next item is item three, public comment pursuant to rule seven of our rules of procedure. This will be limited to 10 minutes. Is there anyone, Dan, could you please take over because I can't see who's there?
All right, it's going to be my role this morning to moderate your input and just to make mention of a couple of things. First, to thank Tom Tompkins, who is our recording device today, who may be up and around with his phone. We thank him for his effort and dedication. Secondly, as some of you may know, we must vacate this room at 10 o'clock this morning. That puts possibly a severe time pressure on any of us and all of us. Given that, I'm going to ask with the approval of my two colleagues here, and I assume, Gary, that you allow us as a board the last 15 minutes so that we're able to speak about where we're coming from and possibly discuss this amongst ourselves. So if you're okay with that, we'd anticipate by quarter of, we would have, enjoy our time. Meanwhile, my sense of this is that anybody who wishes to speak should, and we should have adequate time for that. I would ask only one thing, suggest one thing. There are really two things, I think, to this notion. One is the idea of making a try to resolve what I think all of us feel is a serious community problem. The other is what form, if that's a good idea, what form it should take. Personally, I'd be very interested in hearing views on both, whether the idea has merit, and if it does, how might it better be done than is being proposed. That's a personal point of view. We don't need to be terribly informal. We can just start at one corner of the room with whomever wants to speak and go from there. Dr. Mensa.
Good morning. I first would like to raise a point of order, and that is that given the chairman's public announcement that he was on the side of select board member Dr. Parker, he publicly announced that, I wonder if it's appropriate for him to participate even with a vote on these proceedings. He publicly announced that he was on Dr. Parker's team, and so I raise that question for your consideration because I think that bears on any other proceedings that go forward. Secondly, and I'm sure I'm not the only one in the room that feels this way, all could be resolved, if you're asking for suggestions, all could be resolved with one simple apology from Dr. Parker to Chief Wimmet. I believe, I don't speak for anyone, but I believe that I've heard enough comments to suggest that that may be all that's required to settle this.
Sean?
You stole my thunder a little bit. Sean Moran, and if the chair was here, he would see that the room was a sea of red, of red shirts and red scarves and red ugly sweaters in response to us coming out to this today. I'm sure the board will fall out of the chairs when I tell you that most of us agree with you. This has gone on much too long. And this Hail Mary pass this morning has become like Scandal, the TV series. It's ridiculous how this has pushed this town. And the town is the talk of everybody, because I attended a function last night where Shelburne was talked about a lot, obviously. I agree with Dr. Metz. This could all have been the money that could have been saved, the time that could have been saved from the board, because you certainly have a lot of other things on your plates right now, and those plates are paper. They're ready to break. With the simple, "I am sorry, Chief, I crossed the line," period. Fall on the sword and move on. I appreciate your efforts. I think they're a little muddy with the town attorney who works for the select board going to, because obviously there's a bias there, going to the different parties. First of all, the ethics committee, which were doing their job by their ordinance, are doing their job. They listened to a complaint. They found the complaint valid. They're going forward to the complaint. But they're doing their job. They shouldn't be held in any of this. So even with that out of the way, the town attorney going to the chief and going to Parker and saying, you know, can we do this, when she shouldn't be, because she works for Parker. In essence, she works for the board, and Parker is on the board. I don't think it should be the town attorney. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Sean.
Hopefully we'll be able to talk about some of the structural pieces of it later.
Thank you, Jamie.
Chris?
Chris Boyd from Thomas Road. I wish this had happened after the September 28th meeting, when all this was initiated. That would have been the time for the apology. That would have been an appropriate reaction time. Now, days before the ethics meeting, it's a day late, dollar short, I hate to say. And bottom line, Dr. Parker probably does not agree, but she's really the one that needs to make the good faith motion here. There was no call for her to ask those questions of Jerry at that meeting publicly. If there was a concern, it should have been handled behind closed doors, should have been routed through the chairman to the town manager to Jerry. There's a process. It wasn't followed. She owes an apology. She may not see it that way. I'm sorry if that's the way she sees it, but it's too little too late.
Thanks, Chris. Cesar?
John Sahl, Shelburne. I just wanted to add my voices to the people who've spoken before and to say I was there that night, as so many of us were, and I was astonished at Dr. Parker's remarks. It clearly was inappropriate, and yes, she does owe the chief and everyone else just an apology. That's all. Thank you.
Doris Sage, Mycet Road. I just want to know, is the board willing to spend as much money on the raw sewage that's happening on the hillside as they're willing to put into Colleen Parker's lawsuits that are going to come down?
Thanks, Doris.
So, Shannon Warden, and by now you're probably wondering why I keep coming, and I'm troubled to be spending my Saturday morning here. I told some folks this morning on our way in that Saturday mornings for me are jeans and cowboy boots and time in the barn. But here I am. I don't live in Shelburne. However, I spent 30 years growing up here. I spent 30 years growing up with people like Colleen Hagg, Paul Goodrich, and Mike Gill, as people that I looked up to in this community, pillars of your community. Chief Ouimet is one of those pillars. My father, one of those pillars. Al Fortin, Jim Mack, Pete Gadju, Sharon Palladay, other officers and dispatchers were and always will be like my family. And there were many years that I thought of Aaron Noble as another brother. Up until the last several years, this was like another home. That feel has changed drastically. This town has so many hardworking, dedicated employees and volunteers that should be celebrated and rewarded. And it's troubling to read the paper to see what types of harsh emails they receive, to hear the tone and the discourse and nonverbal communication towards individuals at meetings. It's very uncomfortable and painful to watch and hear. One domino was tipped this summer with an unjust suspension, and it has created this cascade of other dominoes, which I believe are starting to highlight flaws in your systems. You can't have systems where your elected officials can misrepresent and underutilize someone's area of expertise, such as Chief Ouimet, in forming a hazmat ordinance. Chief Ouimet, who spent countless hours this week consulting with the FBI, and then later have him interrogated without warning in a public setting, and then have another system for him to file what he believes to be an ethics violation as a way to protect his integrity, only to have that said system allow another party, an elected official, file a cross complaint back, and then escalate matters with a lawsuit against 7 of your community volunteers. It's the systems and the execution of the governance structures that have now created this divisive town. And the leadership, I believe, needs to take a hard look at where these systems are flawed and develop a plan for your constituents. A plan of how you're going to fix it and repair it and ensure that it doesn't happen again in the future. Tuesday night, everyone was pleased with the work of the community outreach program to address the spike in suicide rates. And that is something that hits very close to home for me. And there are some people in the room that I know that were here when my father first started. And my brother committed suicide, and this community came together for us as a family, and we had not been here for very long. So Tuesday night, that's Shelburne, to recognize something like that and to be willing to put resources into people who are in crisis, whether they're Shelburne residents or not, and to make sure that they're taken care of. And that's human services, and human services is all about building relationships, and that's what needs to happen now, is repairing those relationships, because now your town is in crisis, and it needs to be made whole again through those relationships. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
I just asked for a decision on my request that the chairman recuse himself in view of his public bias. I asked for a ruling on that.
Yeah, I mean, you're not being ignored. We did note at the start that this portion of the meeting would be dedicated to those who wanted to make comments.
Yes, sir.
I've recorded yours, and at a point where there are no more comments and we can speak, I'm sure that matter will be taken up.
Yes,
it's
sir.
A simple matter of making the request to the gentleman who's behind that phone.
Yes, sir.
As to whether he thinks he should recuse on that basis.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
But I want to be sure everyone who's taken the time to come and expressing the interest has an opportunity to speak.
Thank you.
Please don't hesitate giving some ideas if you think there's merit in any approach at this point versus, let me throw that out, should we do nothing? If we're to make an attempt to heal, to medicate, to bind together, to, as Jenna has been extremely eloquent in two meetings now, to say, bring us together, is such an attempt worthy? And if it is, what form does it better take than what's proposed today? If not, I'm personally perfectly willing to accept that as a community sentiment. Chris?
So to go off from that question, I guess the question becomes overall, has it traveled too far for intervention now? Because part of it is both parties have subsequently sustained financial debt as a result of this. So how do you get it to the point to where it gets back to where everything's even and all hard feelings are put aside? Who, you know, if the financial debt for both sides doesn't get covered, and should it be covered, then would there be no hard feelings between all parties? It's a deeper question now than it was after September 28th. And it's very short to when a decision's going to be rendered. Should it just be allowed to go to the decision point and let the chips fall where they may?
Sean?
I'd like to echo what Chris said, Sean Moran. I think it's a noble effort by the board. I think it's too late. I think at 4 o'clock on Wednesday, when that lawsuit was filed in civil court, it took a step beyond all of us, all of you, all of us. It was threatened. We read about it in the paper, and then it happened. And it was threatened again at the meeting. When we sat in the ethics meeting, and we saw them, and the ethics meeting was struggling with comments from the, I don't know what you called yourselves, the other ethics, the temporary ethics thing, and they were trying to work, you know, and felt, yes, we need to change the ordinance, we need to bring in new things, because it doesn't protect the innocent. This ethics meeting was doing their job, and to overstep them now, I think is, you know, Parker's lawyer got up and said, you're still going to have this meeting when what happened today happened? And it was a direct threat. And thankfully, legal on their team, it's not legal, but Tom said, yes, we are going to take that into consideration, but we're going to do our jobs, and we're going to go in and decide if this goes forward. And came out and said, yes, it goes forward. The public deserves to have this rectified. Too much money has been spent. Some people who can ill afford those fees, and they need a closure, not a nothing. I know you know that, and I know you'd love to save all this aggravation, but you have to realize it's your own board, not the board entirely, but somebody on your board who started this ball rolling and who's escalated this into a lawsuit outside an ethics hearing. Thank you.
Thanks, Sean. Tom?
Good morning. Thomas Murphy. The comment of a serious community problems, we started the meeting saying that. We've sustained so many black eyes as a town in 6 months. Our police department, our fire department, the lawsuits with the rail, the money is spent, the poor residents down the street with sewer backups. Our ethics committee, it's one black eye after another, after another. I've lost faith in the board. I've lost trust in the board. Here we are on a Saturday morning. You know, I'll say that our hearts are heavy. And enough is enough. And I hold the board responsible. I'm sorry to say, you're so dysfunctional. I don't have answers. I don't have solutions. And I do my best to support what I believe in. And that's why I'm here this morning.
Thanks, Tom. Sir?
People have spoken so beautifully about this issue. Recalling that night, it seems to me the chief was wearing the uniform and was there as a matter of duty. He's a volunteer fire chief. Should the town not be covering his legal fees in this lawsuit?
Well, I think that's a question that I'm not prepared personally to address, and need to defer to the town manager. It's a separate issue, finally, from the question that we're talking about this morning.
Jerry, I can address some of that, but maybe I'll just wait until after that.
It's a decent question. I'm not at least prepared personally to answer. Oh, sorry, Roger.
Okay. It's Bruce Lissman. I have been in litigation's part of life, and it's a tough world out there. Mediation is an alternative to slugging it out with over weeks and months. It allows people on both sides to tell from their heart or from their heads their point of view, and someone runs between. Moves between one party and another party to try to figure out if there isn't common ground, which strikes me as a better alternative than having a meeting on a Saturday morning or one side declaring another side incorrect or missing it or the board's doing a bad job or we're doing a bad job. So mediation solves, if I could just answer your question, so mediation is a great alternative to slugging it out in some court with lots of documents being passed. A lot of angry people on either side. And so I actually think it was a terrific idea, maybe late. I don't really know the parties, whether they're interested, but I would urge it and have always felt in the past when I've been involved with litigation, I'm not an attorney. That's the other guy, my name. And so I've always felt in being involved in litigation, in retrospect, when you're halfway through it and really up to here and stuff I can't say right now, better to have settled it in some fashion. So I actually commend the board for coming up with this idea. I don't know if it's too late. I understand people have different interests. Some really want to fight it out here in public. I really urge that you consider it and figure out a way to do it. Maybe the town attorney is the wrong person because there's a feeling that I don't know if it's a he or she, is biased, but there's always an alternative, and there are people who do that for a living, and not just two, someplace in this community I've seen their signs. And so I think it's a good idea, and I think you should push along with it.
Thank you, Bruce.
Yep.
Okay. Roger?
I concur. I think anything we can do to not spin this further. I also really respect that people say they need an apology. But I don't think that solves anything. I have a 15-year-old kid that needs an apology. He hears over and over and over this the insane state of affairs here. And so I don't dispute, but there's more than one apology that needs to be made. And if there's any way, well, let me say another thing. I was at the ethics committee meeting as well, and I like Lee, and I've had some very healthy dialogues with him, but the ordinance is flawed. It's not working. He's rewriting it, or they're trying to rewrite it. So here we are going forward with something where the context and the foundation isn't working. And I'm not a lawyer. I've never practiced law. It just makes no sense to me that we wouldn't figure out a way to have, other than having a quasi-judicial board sit and hear these things with a flawed ordinance that's not working, there's got to be some other way. And so whether that's mediation or a couple people coming together, also I think that I was at that meeting, but I did not see Mike Regan speak, though I know him because he's my neighbor. But his approach, he's a litigator, and litigators' approach aren't warm and fuzzy. So if everybody would try not to be offended by everybody's style and really look at them that matters, the details of what's going on. I was asked, would I help out with the ethics ordinance? I don't know anything about ethics. I spent 3 weeks studying so I could be on this pro tem committee, and I studied and studied. But there are people around who really could help, is what I'm saying.
Thank you, Roger. Bruce
Nunziata. To your question, Jerry, as far as what route, what possibilities do we have in front of us, I think that's up to the parties themselves to decide. I mean, they'd probably like to hear good suggestions, but ultimately it's up to them. For me and for a lot of us, I think we're just looking to get this resolved in a fair, equitable way. I don't know what all the protocols are, but we have people that are town volunteers, town lawyers involved, the select board involved, people choosing sides. I think that all needs to be cleared up and just let somebody with an unbiased position and mind say, this is the incident that happened. I'm not leading or supporting or working for the town or the chief. Let's just do this fairly and get all the personalities and the positions pulled out of it, because it is a complicated situation, you know, with two town volunteers and the select board and everybody else involved. So I'd just like to see this done properly, cleanly, fairly, without prejudice.
Thanks, Bruce.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure, Roger.
I also, as an observer, it seems as though what the town does is vilifies. One day it's this person, one day it's that person, one it's the member of the board, it's the salt sheds, it's Dr. Parker, it's just over and over. And to me, the townspeople need to look at that. We vilify people here. And I'm not here that long, but 15 years ago, we weren't vilifying people. And it's terribly divisive. And I have a suspicion that if we fix this thing, unless the voters don't change, we'll find somebody else to vilify.
Thank you, Roger. Would anyone else like to talk to that?
Sorry to speak multiple times, sir, but I just suggest to you that you are public figures, and every meeting you all sit up at that head table and you hear comments directed either to you in toto or individually that are not terribly flattering. But you don't sue people for saying that, okay? As a public figure, as a member of a select board, you have to be able, A, to accept criticism and acknowledge when it's leveled at you without suing somebody. And number two, you have to be able to get along with other members of our Shelburne community. If you can't, as a select person, get along with members of our community, our support, and people that help make this community safe, if you cannot get along with them, if you have to sue them, it seems to me that that's a difficult a qualification or a non-qualification for a seat at that table.
Craig Bartlett, Colleen Parker's husband. I'd like to point out that that might be a very naive comment. Perhaps you don't understand what happened.
You should address your comments.
Yes, I'm addressing it to you too, sir.
No,
we have not had any such behavior or tone of voice to this point, and we shouldn't have.
In the medical community, an ethics complaint can result in loss of income, loss of employment for a physician. I'd like to point out that the facts, as are very well public in this case, are that a town official was approached with a thing of value, and that town official did not disclose this thing of value. This town official did not disclose that they were now testifying against the town in favor on the side of a litigant the town was involved with. This town official did not disclose that this conflict of interest was offered by that litigant. There's no evidence that there is any impropriety here. That's clear. But the impropriety is not disclosing those things because that creates an apparent conflict, which is very clear in the ethics ordinance. Another town official brought to light these issues with two questions and then a clearly different and fraudulent complaint was filed in the ethics committee. If that results in a sanction to a person who has a medical degree, that could result in clear affecting their career. So as far as I'm concerned, Dr. Parker, my wife, was forced to do this because she has a 20 or 30 year medical career ahead of this. And this was clearly a fraudulent complaint by another town official who clearly did violate the ethics ordinance, in my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Craig.
I think further conversation of the matters of dispute are probably not only not helpful, but nor productive, nor may not even be legitimate for this setting. We're talking about, and I'd ask everyone, as so far you have, to talk about moving forward with some accomplishment of something better than what we've got now. And I don't think it's helpful to comment as you have, although many of us would understand your devotion to your spouse. Thank you.
May I say one more thing to that, Jerry? The only reason I brought that up is there was a comment made that it's ridiculous to bring a lawsuit. And it's not ridiculous because an ethics complaint, particularly one that may turn out to be a flawed and fraudulent one, can affect someone's entire life.
Yeah.
So there was no choice in this.
Thank you, Craig. Chris?
While those comments were impassioned and understand where they came from, it got into something that's beyond the discussion today. The discussion today is more how do we get this rectified? But again, I come back to just hearing those comments. Is there a means to rectify? Someone else had said it's going to take both parties. I believe you just saw an example that both parties are, at least one of both parties is not going to be willing. It's prudent to try, and I commend this board for that attempt. How do we get beyond everything that was just discussed? Went over procedural protocols that were violated from one side's opinion, but both sides, if the facts are true, and I'm not saying they're not, but if the facts are true, both sides made errors. Because again, I'll say it again, Dr. Parker wasn't the one responsible to bring that out at a public hearing to whoever she felt was violating procedures and protocols. That should have gone to the chairman, to the town manager, and been discussed in an office, not in a public meeting. That's the crux of the matter. So we come back to how do we get to where both sides can shake hands and walk away amiably? I don't know if that's going to happen, hearing the passion that we just heard.
Thanks, Chris. Would anyone else like to comment?
Can we go to that meeting over there?
It's a lot more fun. I think they're listening to us.
I think. Writing the new screenplay, I can hear it now.
And I was concerned about having given up on Alabama and left my maroon cap home. Shows you should never give up.
Yeah.
I have one more question to kind of throw out to you. If, with the indulgence of my colleagues, who shortly will speak their minds, if if in some way the, this particular situation cannot be reasonably or intelligently affected by the rest of us, are there things that we could be thinking about that both work to prevent anything like this happening again, first, that reinstill the kinds of respect and reward that we direct to volunteers in town, of which we are all, volunteer fire department, ethics committee, select board? Is there a way for us to recognize that this is entirely and completely a family matter that involves no outsider of any kind, that we are speaking to one another as family members, all engaged in making Shelburne a better place to live? Would it be worth in the future, should today prove not decisive, or for some reason we don't decide exactly on how to proceed this morning, are there ways that we can think about forging some path from here, even if the current situation is simply beyond our ability to affect? Chris? I see you, Roger.
So, Mr. Chairman, just so you know, I'm holding up my phone. Something we all need to get beyond: the social media. It used to be a time, people used to say, my God, emails are so impersonal. You can read so much intent and hate and emotion and whatever into it, because we're not speaking person to person. And now there's 1,000 different ways to do that: through Twitter, through Facebook, through whatever. We as a community, if we have a problem in our community, we need to get rid of that thing. We need to find a way to where we can all stand face to face and have human conversation. We need to get the emotion out of it. We need to get a little spine to ourselves. We need to accept the other person's opinion. And we need to be able to stand there as friends and talk and converse and come to a conclusion. Not read everything that's out there, take it for granted, and then start throwing it at each other. We have to find a way to where we personally communicate with each other. To me, that's the first big step.
Thanks, Chris. Roger?
I said it before, I'll say it again. Fix the ordinance. The ordinance, I'm there. Lee's asked for 90 days. The ordinance isn't working. And when the pro tem committee got involved, everybody was there and everybody agreed it made sense to let the respondent put something in writing. I said, it makes total sense. In a conversation I had yesterday, the chair of the ethics committee, who I had a really healthy dialogue, said nowhere could he find anybody in any community doing that. This morning, at 5:30 in the morning, I found, with one Google search, East Hampton, Connecticut, a town twice the size, three times the size of Shelburne, it's exactly what they do. And I also asked a question yesterday, what if a complaint is, I don't want to use the fraudulent, is incorrect? Our ethics committee takes it as sacrosanct, because it's sworn, it's a sworn affidavit. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to get any evidence or do anything. There's something broken. And I agree with social media is not going away. But an old friend of mine used to say, believe half of what you see, half of what you read, and half of what you see and none of what you read. So with all that said, fix the ordinance before you go forward with these complaints.
Okay, with the indulgence of my colleagues, I think it's time for them to communicate their views, and ultimately we will ask the chair to do the same. And I, with Jamie's okay, I'm going to start with you, John.
Excuse me, Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry, I think it would be appropriate for me to first address the call that I addressed, whether I should recuse myself.
Yes, we could take that matter up right at this point.
It'll be quick. When I said I stood with Dr. Parker, I never addressed the merits of the complaint against her or the complaint she drafted against Chief McMahon. Pursuant to the ethics ordinance, I'm stating that I believe I can act fairly, objectively, and in the public interest. Accordingly, it would be improper for me to recuse myself from this matter. Thank you.
We have a response here, or are we going
to... I guess, I mean, I might look at that differently. I mean, my recollection of the October 24th meeting when the chair did make a fairly impassioned comment about Dr. Parker being on his team and he was going to support his team is a fairly clear indication that he has a personal interest in the whatever a positive or negative outcome of whatever happens. And if that is the case, to paraphrase the ethics ordinance, and that would be Article 3, Item C, which defines the conflict of interest, and if I can extract that, means a direct or indirect personal or financial interest of a public official. And that conflict is in the outcome of a particular matter, policy, cause, proceeding, application, or other matter pending before the public official or before the public body on which he or she serves in an office. So if, in fact, there has been a public statement about the direct personal support for a matter, for a person involved in an issue, and certainly Colleen Parker is named in this motion, that public issue, that public interest would represent a conflict.
Okay, I'm going to respond to that. Mr. Dean is wrong, and I point to Article 9, disclosure and proceedings which are non-quasi-judicial. And the standard is exactly as I stated before. If a public official can act fairly, objectively, and in the public interest, there's no need for refusal. I'm not recusing myself. Moreover, if one accepted Mr. Dean's interpretation, then Mr. Story would also have to recuse himself because he responded immediately after Dr. Parker asked those two questions. And I do not believe it would be improper for Mr. Story to recuse himself either.
And all I will say is that I'm perfectly accepting of the chair's decision that he feels he can accept that. That is his decision completely. And it's not up to us to make that decision for him. I was just pointing out a sort of expanding the comment that it made with the information in the ethics ordinance. So I, you know, it's not my position to say one or other than to add content to the remarks.
I'd like to.
I agree. I would just concur. I think this group's very familiar with that ordinance and understands that it's up to the public official to make that determination. So I would concur with Josh's observation on the ordinance itself. It's the official's decision with respect to the recusal.
I'd like to move to the question of why, on paper at least, we are here this morning. I did intend to remark on what I'm on tape as saying, so there's no mystery or question about it. I did intervene that night, and I did so for reasons that I would repeat on any other occasion. And if that's basis for recusal, I'll be happy to do that. But I'd like to put that issue to the side because I think at the moment it's a distraction. I think the issue here is what we have on paper as a proposal, which either continues in its present form or gets changed or modified, and we've yet to hear from two of my colleagues on that matter. So at this point, you want to pick up there and then make sure Jamie's got time to...
We have 15 minutes. Let's do our best to get through.
I will, yeah, okay.
I didn't mean to tell him that. So.
Got a clock? Yeah, I guess, I appreciate and actually laud the idea of dealing with this issue in a non-legal and non-combative way. I think, as members of the community have already stated, this whole issue has gone far beyond what anybody would really want it to go. And I think the idea of trying to come up with a mechanism to do that is great in theory. Whether it can actually happen in fact is a whole other issue, and I think that's our discussion at the moment. I would second the comment, and I can't remember who exactly made it, that I don't think the town attorney is an appropriate person. The law firm, let's say, if we take individuals out, is not the person to do this for a couple of reasons. One, I think the basic conflict that started this is a litigation in which that law firm has been directly involved. And so it's hard to believe that there isn't some overlap in that regard. Secondly, that's more expense for the town. And at this point, the town doesn't need more legal expenses. And third, in that regard, it seems like this is something that is a select board issue. It's something that the select board should deal with in some way, and potentially one mechanism, if in fact there seems to be value in trying to mediate, as Mr. Lisman says, value in that, maybe it's a member of the select board that might take that role. Or potentially another member of the community who's willing to volunteer their services. But it doesn't seem to be something that we should be spending more money on. The only other thing that I think, I'm not sure is tangential, but I think it goes to the core of this, and I think it might have been something that somebody did mention, is it does seem somewhat inappropriate and concerning to me in the sense of our community and what all of our roles are. But the idea that a sitting member of the select board would file a lawsuit for monetary damages against other town officials seems somewhat inappropriate. I can't point to any, or I'm not aware of any document or rule, law, or anything else that says that can't happen. But I think conceptually, if that's the way to
Jerry,
proceed...
Jerry, I thought we weren't going to be talking about the merits of what was going on here. Talking about process here.
And I think this is part of the process because I think it's all wrapped up. And so I'll just...
Yeah, I disagree with you. I think you're doing exactly what you said we would not be doing.
All I'm saying is that's one part of this whole issue. And if that needs to be pursued, then the best way of pursuing that is not as a member of the select board.
All right. The point's been made that we're making every effort not to be judgmental this morning about any side in any sense. And passion isn't restricted to one or two people. Sometimes we all express it in our own ways. I think it's very important for you who elected us to understand in as much detail as we can offer what we're thinking and what we anticipate and what we'd like to see happen here. Because it's the community that's at stake, not this board, not any individual, not one committee, not another. It's the whole bag. And if this is the wrong horse, there's no point in saddling it. Nobody's going to ride it. So that's what I'd like us to keep focused on. And I now turn to Jamie.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I will keep my comments brief given the hour here. I'm no stranger to litigation. I manage litigation for a $5 billion company, so we see this kind of thing all day long. What I will say is I concur with Mr. Listman in the sense that it's never too late, in my opinion, to try to mediate something. And in this scenario, my understanding is this would be consistent with our previous approach to any sort of litigation similar to this matter. There are no matters similar in recent history, but I think it would... feels like an obligation almost for us to offer that up and at least attempt to move forward with it. I agree with Josh that it would need to be an independent neutral, somebody who could step in objectively and look at this, not the town attorney, clearly. I know for a fact that there are very well-qualified folks out there who are willing to do this on a pro bono basis, so I think the hands are up. It's just a question of does the community want us to move forward with that overture, and I think that's really... what this motion would be confined to is whether we should move forward with that type of inquiry. And thirdly, I think given litigation versus mediation, even if we weren't able to do it on a pro bono basis, certainly the fiscally appropriate move, right? And it will be a much less costly affair to at least pursue that as one path. Given the time constraints, it's going to be tricky to do this, but I do think it's worth our while to at least consider it. And understand everybody's view that it may be too little too late, but I think it's still worth a shot. That's all I have.
Thanks, Jamie. Before Gary, I ask you for your views, let me give mine quickly. I think in considering this motion that it would have to be modified to include language referring to a third-party independent person to make the approach, much less to mediate. And we're all aware, and the town uses, as several have pointed out, professionals whose business and job that is and who are available. I think it's a super idea from Jamie that we might even have someone willing to do it pro bono. So in the least, I think this has to be modified and changed when and if a motion is made first. Second, I agree with you that the timing is far from optimal. And I guess I come out on that there's no time. You know, there's always time to make an effort as late as it might be in the game and not for any purpose of display or being liked or, you know, simply because that seems to me to be the moral responsibility of our job. But it may be that the next step, and at some point the town manager will share his views, the next step for the board may be to meet again and sort out how best to proceed, even if we decide this is a good idea and should be pursued. The mechanics aren't in here. So I respect your comment about time.
I agree. And I think the community should have input on who that independent neutral is.
Yeah.
I think that's really important to at least try to get some alignment.
So
not to suggest that everybody will agree with the decision, but at least give people an opportunity to see a list of people.
It should be a family choice. It's a family matter.
And agree.
Yeah. John?
Yeah, I was just wondering if we had a second here from Joe about the legal expenses for the chief being... representative of the fire department for the town.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's appropriate. I'm sorry. Where that was missed earlier as the question.
No, it's been noted. I don't know that we can address that this morning, and in time now is unfortunately running out on us altogether. But I'm confident that Joe has noted that as well. I would fairly expect at this point a follow-on meeting of the board, perhaps in advance of Tuesday the 12th, which is the next, you know, regular meeting, because of several matters that are being introduced. And I'm going to kind of go with the idea that we'll probably need to sit down again, depending upon what we vote here. So it hasn't been set aside. It's a good point, and I appreciate you making it, John.
Jerry, I can respond in 10 seconds or 15 seconds.
Yeah, I think you should.
And this would be a similar response for anyone that's involved. So same with any other potential claim that would come into me, whether it's the police department, someone backs up and rear-ends someone, or a highway driver takes out a mailbox or something like that. When those incidents happen, I make an insurance claim, kind of like the Hillside Sewer issue. And I've done the same with this. I immediately contacted the town's insurance carrier, informed them of this quote-unquote claim. They are reviewing it to determine whether or not there's coverage. I have been in touch with, I think, both the board and with the chair or the acting chair of the ethics committee, and I'm waiting for a determination of whether or not there is coverage, and I'm handling this the exact same way I would handle any other similar claim. Yeah. So I would say I can't predict when an answer to that will be, but you know, I've been pushing passive, and they understand there's some urgency here. But this is, I think, somewhat new for them too. So they're reviewing it, and I hope to have an answer Monday or Tuesday. Okay,
Gary, I'm sorry. I'd like to leave Gary a few minutes to make a comment, Marla, if you weren't.
I would like to respond in terms of Jamie. I think it is important. You said that the community have some say in this. That's nice. I think what's most important is that the parties involved would agree to who it is. I think we might have an opinion, but the motion may well be that you try to find somebody that the parties would agree to.
Yeah. Gary?
I would just say she is the rightest person on this issue. They don't.
Of course.
They don't agree on the meeting.
It goes without saying, right, that it wouldn't move forward without the parties.
Okay, gang, we got a couple of minutes here. We got to move. I'd like the chairman to have an opportunity to speak, even though he's not present. Gary, do you want to address?
Yes. The motion is not for the town attorney to mediate. The proposed motion is simply to see if the parties are willing to go forward. In regard to who the town attorney represents, the town attorney does not represent any single board member. The town attorney represents the town through the select board as a body, not as an individual attorney. I have to respond to Josh's comment in regards to the town attorney not being able to do that position. The railroad litigation, that is an attack on the professional integrity of the town attorney. That's a problem. In regards to whether we should seek to encourage the parties to get together, I point out that the town finance director, from a financial perspective, suggested also that this was a good idea. So I am in favor of that. The town attorney to do this. Frankly, I would be fine if the new member on the select board, Jamie Hines, who wasn't even on the board at the time, served in that role to simply contact both parties to see if they were willing to mediate. Wouldn't be asking Jamie to mediate or the town attorney to mediate. Just simply to see if the two parties would get together and say, yeah, maybe it's a good idea if we sat down and talk. And we asked the ethics committee to put off the hearing until we've had an opportunity to talk. Now, that's not up to me. It's not up to the select board. It's not up to any resident. It's up to Mr. Wimet and Dr. Parker. That's who it's up to. All we're trying to do is to facilitate an opportunity for the two of them to sit down and see if we can resolve this in the best interest of the town.
So the private party who booked this room and paid for it per our policy of rental policy, they did this months ago, tried to squeeze this in an hour, and I apologize, but we do have a time constraint on us because of a private party.
Yeah, we have to leave.
Can we continue in your office, Joe?
Yeah, we've got a couple of alternatives, one of which is to continue in the town manager's office. Let me tell you quickly for the moment.
Let's go do that, and hopefully we can wrap it up quickly.
Then. Yeah.
So
I don't know that it can be wrapped up quickly, and I don't know that this is going to be voted. I'm not so sure at the moment, for those of you who can't stay, that we might not end up with a letter from the board. There are varying approaches at this point, but we must vacate, and we'll go to...
Due to the size of the group, we can use the upstairs of the firehouse if everybody agrees.
The problem, John, is the phone.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Well, we're limited in where the...
They're just going to be...
Do we have to use the phone?
Yeah. Well, otherwise a member can't communicate. So
couldn't we take that? Even our phone, Jack, over there.
All right, thank you. We're going to be with the chair's permission and approval. We're going to be removing to the town manager's office.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, everyone is in. Actually, Ann Jana's office right now. So I don't know. Right. There you go.
Reconvene.
Yes, we're all gathered, Gary. Substantially, everyone who was in the other room is now here.
Great, so we've reconvened.
Would you like to continue your comments?
I think if the board believes it's in the best interest of the town to see if the party would be willing to get together to talk, whether by themselves, whether with a third-party mediator or mediator type, then if we think it's in the best interest of the town, then I think we should find a way to encourage that to go forward now, simply from a time element, because the hearing has been scheduled for early next week. If we don't think it's good for the town to try to resolve this and end, hopefully, this acrimony, then we should put it off. I'm in favor of trying to get the parties together to talk. Again, it's not up to us whether they are willing to do so. There are some people in town who I know are ready to assist people who I believe don't know the chief, don't know Dr. Parker, have no skin in the game. They just want to help and their experience in this arena. I'm in favor. I think that it's perfectly acceptable for the town attorney just to contact the people to see if the parties, to see if they're willing to get together. That's all he's doing. He's not mediating. Thinking I don't think involvement of the town attorney or any other town official is very productive here. And that includes me. So I think as a matter of course, this should be done among the community, in the community, by a community person, because we have a community problem. Well, I'm about to explore some ideas with Josh and Jamie.
I'm taken by, first of all, I'm not so sure that voting on a motion today is the most useful step, because I don't know how to reword it in the way that it would be satisfactory, I think, to most of us, first. Second, I would favor and would ask my colleagues to comment on a letter from the board which might outline our idea of offering a person acceptable to all the parties, someone with a background in mediation who was independent of the town entirely, either by name or by description, and see if the various parties all together were willing to move, you know, take the next step. That a letter would seem to me better than a phone call, and would seem to be the most community-based thing we could do at this point. That would be my idea, and I'm interested to hear what Josh and Jamie think.
I think that seems perfectly reasonable, as with the caveat that it doesn't create expense for the town, if that's possible. But I'm in favor of that. However, I would also like to do somewhat of a reality check here, because from what I heard in the previous discussion, are we going to make any progress? Because, you know, it's been stated on both sides that all anybody wants is an apology. That seems pretty simple. And so the question is mediation going to get any farther than that simple, are you willing to apologize? So this may not be that complex, and maybe that's the direction we should take. But how to do
it? I think you don't know
Jerry,
until
that seems to be adopting one side's view, not the other side's view. One side is asking for an apology. We don't know if Dr. Parker is also asking for an apology, and that would go to the merit of the complaint, which I have no interest in going.
I thought there was a statement that there was an interest in an apology on both sides. If I'm wrong on that, I stand corrected. But my assessment was that was the nature of things.
I guess in my mind, that's not really for us to determine. I think it's up to the parties, and hopefully the intermediary can really help them forge some common ground on that, and maybe not. Right? I think we need to be realistic with expectations going into it, but I'm a little concerned. I'm happy to move forward with a letter if we think that's optically a better way to do it. I think it's probably the same result and outcome as whether it's a motion today. I'm a little concerned about the time sensitivity with it, of us who's going to draft the letter, and if it's one of us, that's fine, right? We're happy to put two sentences together.
Is this to circumvent the meeting that's happening on this Tuesday? Is that what the board is trying to craft the mediation to stop that hearing on Tuesday, or to prevent that hearing, to see if
I wouldn't put those words. I wouldn't say circumvent necessarily.
Well, or is that the time
an attempt
constraint?
To resolve it in advance of that?
Postpone or
We obviously have an event that's
right,
driving
that,
the time frame.
Right.
And if we're tardy in this meeting and this idea, we are. But the opportunity is in the next few days to send such a letter. Should there be interest? Should there be a response? If we were just being overheard today,
right?
Which I'm sure we are. Maybe something will click, and somebody will say, "Gee, maybe we can sit down and reason together." I agree that we shouldn't. That an exchange of apologies might be one mediation outcome. There are many, and we shouldn't prejudge them or anticipate them. But Josh's point, the point continually can be made that we don't know how
whether this will succeed, and if so, in what form, different than we're imagining it now. The parties may come back and say, yes, but if we do this or that, and in which case timing's going to be a problem. I'd be personally satisfied if we communicated our desire to look after the well-being of Shelburne here in the largest sense that I think is a terrible is in a terrible dark period, and we take our chances that it may succeed. We're prepared that if it does, all of us, I think, from what you've heard, are more than willing to pick up the oar and row, you know, the oar and row in the right direction here. But I doubt personally that this motion, as such, can address our problems. I mean, it addresses the situation adequately for us to even take it up.
The go forward situation,
yeah.
Or
no? I mean, this
oh, that's drafted
motion, yeah. And instead, that we would make a decision to communicate by letter to the various parties.
Seems reasonable to me.
Huh? Yeah. Let me just see what the chair. Gary, what do you think?
I'm real concerned. I'm like Jamie, and I think you too, Gary, that by delaying, we are in effect denying an opportunity. That being said, I think it's clear now that all four members on the select board, and if I've missed speaking for anyone, please correct me. I think all of us would like to see this resolved in a way that's in the best interest of the town, and that we're all in favor of the two parties speaking. So I'm sure that each party has someone here who can tell them, hey, if you want to take the high road, be the first to pick up the phone and call the other one. Try to get together and talk. I would love it if one of the either party took the initiative to pick up the phone and call the other.
I'm not concerned about the timing, because the effect of this motion is not quicker than the idea of sending a letter. So I'm not sure what that is. The question is to Joe, if several of us and you help draft a letter, can we circulate it to all members? We can't. We have to have a...
Right. I think the most you could do is pass a motion. You could direct me.
Instructing you and Jamie to put the letter
to
together.
Draft the letter on behalf of the board. But
okay,
we cannot circulate the letter outside of the meeting. So you could...
We're going to go by letter. Joe is absolutely correct from a procedural standpoint.
Okay.
The board has the authority to direct the party, staff member, to draft a letter or to authorize a select board member or two select board members to work together to draft and deliver a letter by email or whatever means that would expedite the process the quickest to the parties, to the party's attorneys, to the chair of the ethics committee, to whomever we want.
Well, there. So my proposal would be, and it can take the form of a motion if we're agreed, that we ask Jamie and the town manager to compose a letter reflective of the discussion this morning, and with as much dispatch as possible, send it to all of the parties involved.
Could you address the parameters of that letter?
Reflective of our discussion, and certainly principally that the offer is of an independent, objective, third-party person. Are you referring to
right? I mean that it would be, as you say, acceptable to the all parties involved.
And of course, I mean, I'd be comfortable that, mm-hmm. that Jamie's going to reflect the
I wonder. I would just put out. I wonder if it might be a better approach to just cancel a record instead of putting the parties into it. if we just send it to Mike.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh. Makes sense.
Pietro and Brian.
Makes sense.
Could you repeat that?
I was suggesting it might, I wonder if the better approach, instead of getting the parties involved directly with the board, is to send it to council.
Yeah.
For their, exactly, Mike, yeah. Pietro, and Brian.
Joe?
I think Jamie's approach makes sense, but again, the way I'm interpreting this motion or proposed motion then is that the board's not expecting me and Jamie to come back with a letter for you to approve.
No.
You're kind of saying...
No, we're entrusting
you. Hopefully you guys, get it and you send it on our behalf.
Right.
Okay. That makes sense.
So this is offering a mediation but excluding the town attorney?
Correct.
Okay.
No. Not necessarily, right?
Well, that's
because
what I mean.
The
acceptable
ethics part. Committee members are defendants in the suit. So they're represented by Brian.
No, necessarily. No. That's not. That, no. No, that's not. The
I don't
case.
Know how that's going to work out.
Yeah,
that's probably not the case.
Jerry, I have a question.
Well, we should talk about that because that's not clear to me. Then
it's not clear to me
then why Brian is involved.
We have certainly voiced, you know, if you wanted to hear the town's opinion, that we feel the law firm is biased.
Well,
innately biased in that we should and certainly could avoid any use of the town's attorney in this mediation, whether they go and say, Colleen Hague, sit down with us and talk to us, whether they go to a mediator, you know, the ones who do it for a living, you know, and they may come and say, no, we have no desire. I mean, we certainly have the spouses of the two parties here, and, you know,
sure.
They're certainly going to go back to their respective.
I think the question ran to involvement, and what Jamie is pointing out, the town manager is pointing out, we have an ethics committee that's also a party, who itself is
we are unsure if the
is
if
represented
they are represented by the town manager.
That's right.
So
right.
I think, out of an abundance of caution, they would have to receive that letter. And
oh, I agree with that.
Whether it's just individually,
that.
Since they have no counsel of record in the matter. To date, we'll send it to Pietro, we'll send it to Mike, and then copy the five members for
or maybe the chair,
the chair maybe,
Tom.
Or to Tom. Yeah,
we are not proposing the town attorney.
Yeah, well, I
no, and I think you miss. I yeah. think you're not opposing the town attorney as the mediator.
Yeah,
that's all I want to know.
No,
okay, thank you.
That's important. That's an important point.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay.
Jerry, ask a question.
Shoot.
A letter. The letter also contemplates requesting that the ethics committee postpone the scheduled hearing to provide the parties the opportunity to mediate.
I think that'd be a step too far.
Yeah,
I think that's up to us.
I think that's their call first. I'm sorry.
From a practical standpoint, if you look for a third-party mediator, people are busy and they're doing other things. It might be very difficult to get someone involved right away.
I'd be willing to rest on the fact that if such a letter came from the board with in the terminology and structured as Jamie and Joe are going to, that communicated this sentiment, I'd feel pretty good about the fact that it would be received in such a way as to maybe those parties would pause.
Okay.
We can't ask them to. We can't demand them to. I don't think we should. I think to me that would be an intervention of a far cry from what we're talking about. But I'd hope that in an extraordinary effort that we're making, there might be some recognition that for the sake of a week, let's let this process either happen or not happen and go forward from there. That itself would have to be agreeable to all the parties, so I don't want to prejudge that.
Okay, so we ready for a motion?
Yeah, but I'm the last one to try to figure out, to try to put in words what we just said. Jamie, you want it?
Since you're going to be the one responsible, why don't
you want me to try to raise a motion here?
Well, forever
so,
more
see.
Than Jamie's motion.
So it would be a motion to authorize J. Jamie Hines on behalf of the Select Board and Joe Colangelo to draft a letter to the effect to Pietro and Mike, as well as the chair of the Ethics Committee, to consider a third-party mediation in advance of the Tuesday hearing, or as soon as practicable.
I think that might be a better way of putting it.
Agreed.
In the best interest of the town.
Yep, in the best interest of the community.
Okay, that's the motion. I'll second it.
That's one sentence letter, by the way. So there's a motion on the table.
I think there's discussion.
Had there been a discussion earlier of making sure that that letter suggesting an out-of-town or whomever mediator be agreeable to both parties?
All parties.
All parties.
Yeah, that's a good point. We did discuss that. Yeah. You're absolutely right, Gail. That was in the discussion. Agreeable to all parties. Gary, I think the board's ready to.
I think Chris has a question.
Sorry, Chris.
Okay.
One more comment, Gary. Okay. One more.
This should also.
Gary, you're there. I can't see. If you would please, if it's time to call for a vote.
Yeah, just 1 minute, Gary. Chris Boyd wants to say something.
This should also reflect that this is by no means trying to delay the Ethics Committee hearing. Both parties have their date. It's up to both parties if they would like to ask that committee to delay that date.
Yeah, I think silence on it. I think the silence is communicative. I mean, we're neither trying to.
Well, but that would get rid of any kind of a hint that that's the intent.
Yeah, or that may be something that in conversation with the various attorneys, you know, with the parties that they discuss. I think your idea is absolutely correct. That we just should stop well short of anything that smells or looks or sounds like intervention. Yeah, I agree. Gary, I think everybody's ready for you to call for the vote.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
That was unanimous, right?
Correct.
All right, did you vote?
Okay.
I mean, you're on the call, so you have to declare your vote.
I won't get into an argument with you, but I voted yes.
Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn? Would anyone else like to comment before we finish?
I just want to recognize and thank Jerry for his thoughtful and warm approach to the facilitation of this meeting. I think it was just what the town and what this group needed to have the dialogue and the conversation that needed to happen. And I respect and I really, really appreciate your approach and how you set the tone for the meeting. And I think that.
It's a group effort, including the town manager, despite the fact he's got an ugly sweatshirt on. But it's, I think, a community problem is best served and solved by the community. And in a funny way that maybe isn't so funny, this is our problem. All of the people involved are our people. So in a way, it gives us a little edge on maybe we can resolve this. Maybe we can see improvements going forward on other than just this matter, which has become sort of poster child for I think, our troubles. But thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll adjourn.
Second.
Second?
Second.
Jamie seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you,
everybody.